No, nice offering from Katrina McGrath at Killarearen House. She's offering Pam Norris, who's cycling the Royal Atlantic Way, raising money for Baby Hearts, free accommodation on her travels, B&B accommodation on her travels. So fair play to you, Katrina, doing your bit there for that fantastic charity. Also doing their bit, and mostly charitably, it's the Donegal Mountain Rescue Team. Joe Brennan, hi.
Yes, Craig, how's it going? Good morning.
Did you like that link? I thought that was quite good, wasn't it? Nice segue.
Huh?
A nice segue, as we call it. Joe, tell us a bit about...
Where I am at the minute, the segue would be no good, Craig.
Yeah, no, where are you?
I'm a wee bit out of puff, but I'm not on a segue. I'm sitting on the top of the Hag's Tooth in the McGillicuddy Rinks.
And what's the view like?
The view is very, very nice. But the mist is coming down now. That cautionary tale that we're always telling people heading the hill, what's the mist? But the mist is currently shrouded in mist. But we're down here, a couple of buddies from Mountain Rescue and meeting up with a couple of buddies in Kerry to do what we call a quality mountain day. We're taking once again 14 peaks of the McGillicuddies today.
Fantastic. Now, it's you guys that allow other people to explore our fantastic terrain that we have, not only in Donegal, but across the country. Tell us about the Mountain Rescue, or the background to it, and how many people are involved, and so on.
Well, Mountain Rescue is, I suppose, it's an organisation to kind of ensure your safety in the hill, and usually we call upon at a time when there's somebody in trouble in the hills to help them or whatever from getting lost or from getting injured or whatever. But it's a volunteer organisation, and there are mountain more than our friends here in Kerry. There are mountain rescue teams in 13 different areas of the county where there are, obviously, where there are mountains like Kerry, Sligo, Donegal, Mayo, Leitrim, the Mourns, and the North West team covered the Spearns and that. So we have 13 teams throughout the country, and they're all drawn to the local community, their own local community, and they're all volunteers, and they all basically have a love of the mountains, no more than you get a couple of headers like ourselves that will head down to Kerry for a weekend and meet up with our colleagues down
here. Like a busman's holiday almost for you. Obviously, some of us will perhaps not heed advice and put ourselves in unnecessary danger, and that's when you should call on as well. But as well as that, someone can have a slip and twist an ankle and not be able to make their own way down, and that's where you guys respond as well.
That's it, absolutely. And I mean, you know, no matter how good you are, no matter how well equipped you are, there will always be that occasion when just that momentary lack of attention or that sudden squall or that turn around to talk to somebody else or look at a child or whatever and you slip and you fall and you injure yourself. That is the luck of the draw that happens. It's no more than going driving to work every morning or whatever. You know, you're the most careful driver in the world, but you can still be the poor unfortunate that was involved in an accident. But you can't help the inevitable, but you can try probably and protect against it and make sure that you go out well equipped and that type of thing.
Now, people have heard Donegal Mountain Rescue Team on the news here at Highland and read it in the papers and on the websites and what have you, and we take it for granted. But before this organisation exists, what happened if someone got stuck on a mountain when they were climbing or what have you?
What did happen before?
Well, there was nothing there, was there? They had to rely on Gardaí and maybe the goodwill of a local farmer.
Exactly, the Gardaí and the goodwill of a local farmer. But then mountain rescue organisations are kind of a long-standing feature in Ireland already with the mountain. The tradition goes back. There's a team in Donegal going right back to the early 80s. But people come and go to it. And, you know, I suppose nowadays there's a lot more emphasis on conforming to standards and having certificates in specialty care and having certificates in rope extraction and all that type of thing. Whereas before it was, you know, a bunch of hardy individuals in the hills and assistants of the Gardaí and, as you say, a local farmer or whatever.
And you have to liaise with the Malinhead Coast Guard and other Coast Guard groups. And it's a fluid situation, obviously, because, you know, people come and go and you always need new volunteers, don't you? So tell us how people can get involved.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can get involved with recruiting at the moment. We have a very good training program ongoing over the last 6 months with 8 new responders. And because we have everything in place and systems in place for training and that, we decided we'd extend that and take on another batch of 8 or maybe 10 new people. And we're recruiting again at the moment. We're asking people who are interested to send an email to secretary@donegalmrt.ie expressing an interest, and you'll be sent an information pack. You'll be called to an interview, and you know, based on the numbers we get, we'll select a number of people from that and continue with the ongoing training that we're doing.
This isn't a 2-day course. There's quite a commitment here.
That's a good point. It's you're talking about a minimum of 6 to 9 months to get through your kind of stage one qualifications and get up to speed to go out on active callouts. It's, you know, when we have an incident, an aerial or muckle or whatever, and the sirens are blaring, you know, to be an active responder, you're going to spend a minimum of 6 to 9 months training. But even after that, you know, to get your casualty care certificates and your rope certificates and that, you'll probably be another year in the team before you're, you know, a fully qualified mountain responder.
But it's it's voluntary, and it's not just those that go up the mountain, because you need a team on the ground too, and you can see, you can offer to volunteer in other areas, can't you?
You can. I mean, you can discuss that at an interview. Like, I mean, in the end of the day, it's a huge backroom operation too. I mean, like any committee or any organisation, we have our steering committee of a chairman, a secretary, and a treasurer. But there's an awful lot of work goes in also into fundraising and into maintaining vehicles and into even looking after the vehicles. We have 3 or 4 vehicles there, like looking after their MOTs and their certs, their insurance and their roadworthiness and their fuel and keeping the fuel card in order and paying for it. That's a person's job. There's a vehicle officer, and I mean, in the end of the day, he's not necessarily somebody who has to be on the hill, but there are just different roles for different people.
Okay, listen, Joe, are you going up or are you coming down at the moment?
We're going up, unfortunately. you give me my breath back, but I have a long day ahead of me.
Fair play. No better man for it. Joe, listen, be safe, and we really do appreciate the work, and I think I can speak for everyone that you do there, because, you know, we're seeing more tourists coming along. We're seeing the success of the Wild Atlantic Way. You're going to be busier, I think, in the months and years ahead. So the more people we have out there, the better. Thanks so much,
Joe.
But
that's a good thing for the county, too.
Of course it is.
Thing to see the Wild Atlantic Way and more visitors. You're 100% right there. There's a lot more people, a lot more walkers. But you know what? There's nothing like there is in Kerry. I mean, there's droves of people, and even at the 1st of September and the reeks here today when we were starting out in the morning.
Well, enjoy your weekend, Joe.
Okay, Greg.
All right, take care. That's...
All right, Joe. Bye-bye.
That's Joe Brennan. The Multiple Weight Management are holding a free diabetic screening and body composition analysis in Letterkenny on Friday, the 11th of September. Robin Smith joins us on the programme now. Robin, hi.
Good morning, Greg. It's actually Motivational Weight Management, Greg. Sorry to
what
correct
did I say?
Multiple Weight Management.
Did I? Well, there you go. So, apologies for that. Motivational Weight Management. So, tell us, how important is it that we check, we have diabetic screening and also body composition analysis? You might explain a bit more about the latter.
Okay, Greg. As you're probably aware, we have a Motivational Weight Management clinic in Letterkenny, and a couple of times a year we go out to various places and offer a free diabetic screening and free body composition analysis to anyone who comes along to our stand. Now, we're actually doing it in Dun Stores next Friday on the 11th from 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and anyone and everyone is welcome to come along to us.
Now, there are two Dun Stores, so Neil T. Blaney Road Duns is where you're going to be, but carry
exactly
on there, Robin.
Yeah. So it's a great opportunity for people to come along, and we have a registered nurse doing the diabetic screening. It's just a little pinprick on your finger, and she's able to give you a reading of where the blood sugar levels are. So people who may not be aware that they have, you know, that they're coming towards the area of having type 2 diabetes, can actually come along, and if the reading is high, we recommend they go and see their GP and get checked out.
It's one of those things not to ignore, because it is manageable, particularly if you get it early.
Absolutely, it's manageable through diet. A healthy diet can in a lot of cases make sure that the blood sugar levels are kept at an even keel, which is really, really important.
What are the target groups be? You know, who would be most... Who's it most important that they should get a diabetic screening, or is it right across the board?
It's right across the board, especially with the trend towards unhealthy eating habits from youth all the way through the ages at this stage. You know, it can be anyone from sort of 18 to 20 up to 60, 70. People can be walking around unaware that they have this and that they're developing it. And it's just an early warning system that we offer free of charge.
We also give them the opportunity to get up on the weight scales, which we can read the body composition. We can see the fat levels, the muscle levels, and the fluid levels in the body. And we can sort of, we talk through them to see exactly what would be a healthy range and where they are.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's carrying extra weight, does it? You can be, I presume that your fat versus muscle, what have you, can be out of kilter, even if you perhaps don't appear to be carrying extra weight.
Oh yes, very much so, very much so. Like it's the amount of fat that you're carrying in the body, we all need a certain amount of fat, but a lot of people are carrying fat in areas that, you know, it's unhealthy, and if you need an operation, the fat gets in the way. And it's really important to look after that before it develops into a big problem.
Okay, well, this phone line's about to fail us, I think, Robin. So just to remind people, the Motivation Weight Management Clinic, there is one in Letterkenny, of course, but they're having a free diabetic screening and body composition analysis in Dunstores, Neil T. Blaney Road. You should say to people, or would you say to people who might sort of try and bury their head in the sand on this and say, oh, I don't want to hear any bad news, to go along and just to ensure their health as much as they can?
Absolutely. Like, it's a bit of fun on the day, and an awful lot of people who think they may be, find that they're actually more healthy than they think they are, and vice versa. But it's just a guideline for them, and again, it's a free opportunity, and they can choose to do with the information whatever they wish at the end of it all.
Okay.
Can I just say, Greg, while I'm talking to you, anyone
please
interested in any of our programs, if they ring us on 074-913-006, we'll give them a lot of information about our programs.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Robin. And I understand you're in a clinic, so thank you for breaking away for that to chat to us. It's appreciated.
No bother. Thanks very much. Yourself.
All right, then, that's Robin Smith there. Robin Smith of Motivational Weight Management. Just a reminder, if you want to go along for those free diabetic screening and body composition analysis, it's in Dunstores on the Neil T. Blaney Road on Friday the 11th of September. I presume it's throughout the course of the day. Right, our last performance now, I understand, from bands which have been formed from the Sound Waves project, and it's Adam Grady, is that correct, Adam?
Yes, it is.
How are you getting on?
I'm getting on good, yeah.
Where are you from, Adam?
I'm from here in Letterkenny, yes.
Okay. And tell us about Broken Crayons.
Well, we all started in the Soundwaves project, and not a lot of us knew each other. I knew Liam, and that was about it. We all met, and then we just started writing.
Okay. And any arguments?
No, it was great.
That's
loved
boring.
It.
Boring. It's not very rock and roll, is it? Do you smash up your equipment at the end of performances or anything?
Not.
That's a few years away.
Not so far.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good news. So it's you, Ross Skinner, Amy Tinney, Niall Brennan, Adam Grady, Kieran Sharkey. User in the pop classic sort of genre.
Yeah.
What would you say, if you people were to sort of look at an artist that's established at the moment, what would you say you're closest to in terms of style?
I don't know. We're kind of unique. We're very cinematic in our intros and stuff.
Cool. Okay, and how have you enjoyed the whole process? What was the most enjoyable part of it? Is it the music for you? Was it sort of maybe, you know, getting into the social media aspect?
I think it was the way that they kind of blended both of them, mm-hmm. and the improvisations were fun, and then getting to kind of market our bands as well. It was fun to learn about it.
And are you guys going to stick together and move forward, do you think? Or once you've sort of done this project, maybe go your separate ways, or what do you think?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm going to keep in touch with a lot of people, but I don't know. We'll probably get together at some point.
Okay, tell us about the track you're going to play for us.
It's called Fear Future, and it's very unique. It's very cinematic, and yeah, we've got very unique sort of instruments. So we've got accordions, trombones, cellos. We've got a lot of different instruments.
Okay, and it's melding those together.
Yeah, it's trying to get to the right balance between them all.
Okay. Well, listen, we appreciate you coming in, Adam. If you want to make your way around there, you're on the keyboards, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Okay, I'll give you a thumbs up there where you go around. You can head on now if you wish.
Sure.
That's Adam Grady there of the band Broken Crayons, comprising Ross Skinner, Amy Tinney, Niall Brennan, Adam Grady, and Kieran Sharkey, and they're in the pop classic genre, although, as I say, it does there's probably a bit of variance there in that. Well, we'll hear what they have to say for us. Okay, take it away, guys. Thank you. Okay, fair play to you guys. Broken Crayons there, concluding our live performances from bands really set up and established through the Soundwaves program. And as I say, it's been our pleasure to support the guys over the last month or so. And I hope you agree that they've come on leaps and bounds. These are people that have only just got together in recent weeks and artistically and musically compose and compile those songs for you. So I hope you enjoyed that. And what a fantastic weekend of sport ahead. Not least that game this evening, Dublin versus Mayo. I think most people might be rooting for Mayo up here. The big news overnight, of course, Dublin forward Dermot Connolly has been cleared to play in this evening's game after sensationally winning a late DRA appeal. You wonder what the function of those referees' red cards are whatsoever. I mean, when two teams go at it, you want the best teams on the pitch, I suppose, as a neutral, but you do just wonder, with so many cards being rescinded and what have you, what is the actual point? Something they need to look at, I think. Brendan Vaughan, a very good morning, Brendan.
Very good morning to you, Greg. I was just listening to your commentating about the red card.
Go on.
We're just up at the cafe there. We're down here to Conal Gales doing, setting up the vintage day here for tomorrow, and we have a good gang of Mayo men down here helping us put up the stage, and we're just talking about how a man, what's the point in having a referee on the pitch and as clear as day what he did do? Many of the time I've been sent off and playing Gaelic football for Tyrconnell Gales, but the referee's decision is fine. You can see it on the video screen.
Yeah,
what
well,
do they want?
As I say, from a neutral perspective, you know, I'd like the best players on the pitch, but it just makes a mockery of the whole disciplinary system.
A pure mockery. That's what it is.
Okay.
And it's not fair to Mayo as well, who go down the road of disciplinary. And why did this man, this individual, get away with it? Because he's from the capital city and they've got the bigger pull than any other county in Ireland.
Well,
and
well,
it's obvious they want a Dublin Kerry final. They don't want Mayo in the equation whatsoever.
What do Mayo, what do those, that's not what we're on to talk about, but I'm going to tease this out with you. What do you Mayo,
talk about a lot of things.
All right. Well, we've got till 12. Come here, what do your Mayo friends think of their chances then this evening?
Well, I think they have a good chance. I do think, because they have a good team. They've been knocking the door now this good while. And, I mean, even against Donegal, Donegal never turned up. I was at the game on the sideline taking photographs for the Tyrconnell Tribune there. And I mean, I don't begrudge Mayo beating Donegal. And I would say nobody in Donegal would begrudge them. You know,
but I think if Dublin are more disciplined this evening, Mayo are in trouble, because in fairness, there were so many frees brought forward and what have you, and I think Dublin lost that game as much as Mayo losing it, perhaps.
Of course, and one thing that I couldn't understand, the short kick out then, and Mayo was caught every time.
Yep.
I don't know how, when I was playing for Downing, that was the basic thing. You always mark your man and the kick out, and that was it.
Okay, well, listen. Brendan, I have to edit this to put it online, okay? So I'm going to start again, because all of that information will be out of date by this evening. So, Brendan Vaughan, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well.
We're talking about the charity Vintage Rally and Family Day being held. Tell us all about it anyway, Brendan.
Well, it was formed by myself in 2011 because of an interest in vintage tractors, and I'd have a few back in Carrigad. My father used to fool about them, you know.
Mm.
And I take photographs here for the Irish World newspaper in London, and I meet a lot of characters throughout London, you know. And I'll be taking their numbers about, you know, a classic car and have a tractor, and one man has a tractor and a manure spreader. Things they get there, you know.
Mm.
And anyway, eventually I said to myself one day, I said, well, I'm going to start a vintage club. So anyway, we started phoning Westminster Council. At that particular time, Harry Potter film was on, and there was a lot going on around Westminster, and I wanted to do a road run from Westminster to Tyrconnell Gales in Greenford. So anyway, cut the long story short, it happened. And since that, now we've got a good committee here, and we've got Tony McGovern from County Leitrim, a great man, on the committee. We have Barry Bradley, who looks after the music and the stage. He's from County Tyrone. You've got John McDade from Borncrana. And you've got lots of good people. Mickey Moss from Ayarn and County Tyrone. Good help and good sponsors. I'll give you an example of Mickey Moss. Now, Mickey kind of took a sideline on the committee because he was just too busy at the time. He had a farm just out the road, and he's a mechanical carriage as well. And he came up and he says, I'll give you a Morris Minor. Right?
Mm.
We have four auction items now for the Vintage Day, right? Four auction plus a very important iconic thing that was throughout Ireland from 1927. And this was made out of Moranti hardwood by a fellow called Pat McLaverty, whose father was from Downing's, Ross Gould Construction here in London. It's nice to see it when you see it going about London. But anyway, he made this iconic phone box, right? Which I can't understand why the people that has the power removed all these phone boxes from Ireland. They were a part of the rural community, right?
Mm.
So this phone box, I came up with the idea because up at the Cattaring in Hendon, there's a phone box. And I always liked the phone box because I've got the red British one, you know, the old red phone box. I've one of them back in Donegal. So I always wanted one of them, but the people, the power of the thing, took them all down and smashed them up. Now, we're making this phone box as made, finished, to the highest specification possible.
And does it have the material. A and B buttons as well still?
It has everything in it.
Really?
The only thing about that mechanism, to put that into the box, it was going to cost a savage amount of money.
Mm.
So we got, there's a company, this company does a replica fiberglass version of it. And the phone inside is working 100%. It's the same as the phone box that was jotted throughout Donegal and, of course, Ireland as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was a mainstay in every village and every town, that the box. Of a certain vintage, I mean, they were your, a lot of the times, the only way to keep in contact, particularly if you had family maybe that moved away to work to London and what have you, you know?
That's it. I mean, I remember my mother going down to phone the AA man.
Mm.
Me as a wee fella, you know, and I'll give you an instance now where I was in Dunfanaghy there when I was home in the summertime, and I happened to look at these two phone boxes in Dunfanaghy, and Dunfanaghy is a lovely village.
It is.
And my advice to the people in Dunfanaghy is get rid of them aluminium eyesores and come along and try and put something there. If you could get a phone box made up, you could put two leaflets in it, you could put a Wi-Fi hotspot. There's a number of things you could do with a telephone box.
But it's what we did with the railways here as well. We said, right, the future is road transport. We didn't Even over in England, you can't lift the railway track straight away. I understand if you close a railway line. Here, we ripped it all up and said, look, we'll not need that. And
I remember, Craig, as a wee lad going over to Dumnara because all my connections are Dumnara.
Yeah.
And the viaduct was out there and the British lived in that house. And I always thought to myself, wouldn't it be great? And I was really a wee fella. I'm 53 now and I was probably about 4 or 5 at the time. Wouldn't it be great if they could put a railway back here for... And whatever these people are, again, like the phone boxes, they don't seem to have the vision.
Mm.
Like people up in Glenfinn where they have that magnificent railway there. I know it's only a short distance, but it's a tourist attraction, and that's what Donegal needs, is tourist attraction.
Well, that's beautiful. I know what you're saying, and it's and you know what? I love the way you think about it, because you're saying, look, we should have maintained them. Even lock them up, but have a Wi-Fi wireless spot in there. In other words, embrace the modern technology, but don't forget our heritage. I mean, they're like hen's teeth now to find them. But anyway, listen, I'm running out of time. The charity Vintage Rally and Family Dates this Sunday. It's in London, the Tyrconnell Gales grounds, Berkeley Avenue.
Tyrconnell Gales, yeah, Greenford, yeah. A lot of people know it. There's even people coming over from Donegal for it, you know.
That's some lineup you have performing from 12 too.
Yeah, it's a great lineup. Yes.
Mary O'Rourke Barry Bradley, the Monday Club, Barry Owen, Bible Cold Sundays, Lorraine O'Reilly. What is the makeup of the crowd that goes along to this versus, you know, maybe, you know, people originally from Ireland? Do many locals turn up, though, and you know, London locals?
A few locals. You even get the Romanians coming down.
Lovely.
And Polish. You know, which we don't mind, because I work in the buildings and I work with Romanians and Poland, Polish people, and we have a couple of tug-of-war teams as well. And, I mean... It's a big, vibrant day here. I mean, I've got the only clogmaker in the UK coming to this vintage day. And he makes clogs and talks to people. Lovely fella, Jeremy Atkinson.
Okay.
We have a pole lift, Wood Turner, we have a fella displaying marquetry, you know. And lots of different arts and crafts coming to the day. And
so if you're over in London, listen to us. Or if you've got family and friends in London, tell them about it and get along to it. You also, I want to mention too, your Donegal Hospice calendar.
That's right, the Donegal Hospice calendar was just when I was home. Isabel Doherty came down, we took a photograph up in the street with my father.
Tell us how much money was raised with that.
€18,205, and that's sponsored by Donegal business people in London and a couple of other stragglers as well. And, you know, and
a few stragglers.
It's great to get that money. I mean, every penny goes to the Donegal Hospice. And I will be doing another one a year. And if you want to. They contact Isabel Doherty to book your calendar up at the Donegal Hospice. Isabel is more than welcome and more than helpful to help anybody and do the calendar, you know.
Brendan, I can do no more for you.
Hi, come here, Craig. There's one other little item as well.
Go on.
There's a bunch of Donegal lads going to do a cycle from County Down right across to what he called to Glencolumb Kill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's native... cancer research and ovarian cancer, and Tyrconnell Gales is great supporters of functions like that and efforts. Stephen McLaughlin, Morris Carr, Franklin, Paul McBrady and Brian McBrady and Declan Alcorn, Hugo Sweeney are going to do that cycle.
Okay.
And it's in memory of Breach Carr and Angela McLaughlin, and it's from the 9th to the 12th, starting Newcastle County Down and finishing at and they're going to Letterkenning as well, I think.
Okay, brilliant. Well,
that's 325 miles.
I certainly can't do any more for you now, Brendan. Listen, thanks so much. Best of luck tomorrow. Best of luck tomorrow.
Highland Radio.
Our pleasure. Listen, great to have you on, Brendan. A great character. And pass on my early commiserations to your Mayo friends there, maybe, no?
I don't think so. I hope they do the job.
Okay, cheers, Brendan. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. They'll all be watching that tomorrow. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, a nice collection of people in front of me to perform for us and chat about the Blue Ribbon Project, including director Bridgin Carr. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks
Thank
for
you
having
so
us.
Much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
Right, tell us about this project.
Well, we prefer to call it an experiment because it changes from year to year.
Okay.
We're going now, it'll be 17 years next year. And basically it just started off as a means for children to come in and express themselves through music or dance and drama and to make new friends. And now that I'm older, wiser and greyer, I can see the benefits that people talked about years ago, and that children that are teenagers and in their 20s and older are still friendly and keeping up with each other.
It kind of connects in to some degree with what we were talking about, our performances from the grep bands that come from the Soundwave thing.
Yeah.
It's similar, but obviously that's at an older age group and what have you. But I mean, universally, I've spoke to all of them, and the benefits they've had, not only just musically, but in terms of confidence and meeting other people, it's fantastic. But it's slightly different, obviously, because you're, what age group are you working with?
Well, our youngest class is on a Thursday. It's Teeny Tots, and they start at 3.
Is that a Teeny Tot you have beside you?
Yeah, it sure is.
What's your name? Kayla. Kayla. And are you a singer or a dancer?
Both.
Bit of both? Mm. And what kind of music do you like? All different types.
Do you like your mummy's music? That's the right answer.
And so who are the other young people that you have in with us?
Laura Foody.
Laura and
Jason McLaughlin.
Jason and
Kyron McBrady.
It's fantastic. We'll hear from you shortly. So, explain more about this experiment then.
Well, we have classes every week, and from the middle of September until the middle of June, and we usually try to fit in a show for everybody to have a part and rewrite shows such as Shrek, High School Musical, and last year we did Wonka Mania, which was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This year we're going to do The Chipmunks, the sequel, so we have our Chipettes and Chipmunks and our high school kids all together. Basically what's happened is evolved, and that in the last couple of years now we have an adults group. It started off as, because we do a lot of work for charity, we started off with calling it the BRAS, the Blue Ribbon Adults. And it turned out I got the nickname The Braz. So we did a fundraiser for breast
and
cancer.
Men and women. Well, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
so
it's
now
nice
we have
tie-in.
The Fur and Brie crowd that came to Carlo are older members and parents and that of Blue Ribbon, so we kind of, the family continues on, you know.
And do you find when the Braz performance that do you find that you give the audience a lift?
I think we give ourselves a lift first and foremost.
So
you're
going to completely ignore my pun there.
They would give ourselves a lift.
Anyway, I'm sure they appreciate the support. Now, this book here I have in front of me, what's this tie-in with this?
This is Ready to Rock. It's the school's programme. I got the opportunity to write, through the whole Blue Ribbon experience, got the opportunity to write the music programme for the primary schools in Ireland with CJ Fallon. And these people that are standing in front of you, bar Kayla, because she wasn't born, are actually, they're going to kill me now, but they're actually the voices of Casey Kyall and Ricky Rhythm and Tommy Tempo and all these characters.
Brilliant.
And singing little songs from whenever they were in third, fourth class. And they, incidentally, the three that I stand here with me, the reason that they were roped in this morning is because we had a sketchy mini practice last night. They're in one of the groups that's through to the final televisation of finding the song for Junior Eurovision for
so
Ireland.
that's also come from this from this experiment, the Blue Ribbon experiment.
Anything that's out there that we think we can give it a go, we'll give it a go. And as I say, my dad, he's my major inspiration. He plays the accordion and he goes to all the old people's homes and the children's ward on Christmas Day and all those. I've grown up with that. So these guys, and we're continuing. And
music really is one of the only true things that completely crossed generation, isn't it?
It definitely does. Do you have time for a quick story or not really?
I'll tell you what, let's have a performance first and we'll see how much time we have after that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So what are we doing now? And I know you've got yourselves together at relatively short notice. So.
Exactly. Basically, we went out there to the room and we said, okay, what are your favourite songs and favourite memories from like, maybe Relay for Life or whatever? And we have to go on now and sing something. We've nothing prepared. So Kayla will sing a bit, Laura will sing a bit, Kyra will sing a bit, Jason will sing a bit, and I'll fill in the patches where anybody forgets anything.
Excellent. Sounds like a bit of a jam, I like it.
Something like, a bit like a session back in Neely's and Arnmore.
Right, take
Kayla,
it away, Bridget.
Okay, so Kayla's going to kick off.
To greet you all.
open it up just fine and dandy, yeah. We are caught in a haze on these lazy summer days, spending all of our nights just laughing, kissing, yeah. And it really doesn't matter if we don't eat, and it really doesn't matter if we never sleep. No, it really doesn't matter, really doesn't matter at all. 'Cause we are so young now, we are so young, so young now. And when tomorrow comes, we'll just do it all again. We are so young now, we are so young, so young.
Okay, listen, guys, that was absolutely brilliant. Just give us your names again.
Laura Foody.
Jason McLaughlin.
Bridging
and...
Sheila. Ah, listen, thank you so much for coming in. The Blue Ribbon Experiment, people can get more information on that, but they know about it.
You can get on Facebook. On Blue Ribbon Arts, you can provide a message.
No, Blue Ribbon Arts.
Blue Ribbon Arts, all on one Facebook. Word. It's all there.
Listen, thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for everyone who came in studio, particularly though for you at home, at work, or wherever you are listening. Donal Kavanagh is on the way with news. Stay tuned.